Be ready to sing at the appropriate time in just a little while, the Lord being our helper and helping us to deliver this message in a powerful manner that we trust everybody can comprehend and everybody can understand. It's so good to see the good number we have tonight, improving each and every night, and just hope we can get better and better, and more people be interested as we pray that beautiful prayer and the Word of God to come out and hear it taught. And we live according to teaching of the Bible each and every day as we travel from time to eternity. Your vast decaying bodies and the people of that silent city of the dead, better known as the cemetery, and multitudes are dying every day. And the cemeteries are being filled more and more all the time, and it's not going to get any better. Because Hebrews 9:27 tells us why. He's appointed a man once to die after this, the judgment. So let's get ready to meet the Lord in the judgment now while we have the time and while we have opportunity. And both time and opportunities are passing away swiftly for me and for you in this life, because we never know we want to leave this life and leave this world, leave this physical body. The way we've lived and conducted our lives upon this earth is going to determine where we're going to be forever. And how long is forever? I don't know. It's forever and ever and ever. It never ends. It's eternity. Only found one time in the Bible. Isaiah 57:15 talks about the high and the lofty one that inhabits eternity, God Almighty. We're in His presence. We're here worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. And we better make it as sure as we can, while we can, because pretty soon we no longer can. Tomorrow never comes, it's always today. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6:2. So now's the time to get ready and to be ready and to stay ready, because one day the Lord's going to come again. We don't know when that's going to be. He don't either. Only God the Father knows, Matthew 24:35-36, Mark 14:32-33. We don't know when that's going to take place, but it's going to happen. You know, sometimes I say this when I'm preaching, I wouldn't be surprised really to hear the trumpet sound at any moment. You know why? Because how ungodly the world is today. God intervened at certain periods of time all through history. One of these days He's going to intervene again. Jesus is going to come. And we read last night in 2 Peter 3, the heavens and the earth are going to pass away with a great noise. Elements going to melt with fervent heat. The earth and the works therein shall be burned up. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Well, it's clear in the Bible what we ought to be doing, as we talked last night, about trust and obey. We're so thankful for the good song service and for the wonderful prayer and for the good audience we have here tonight. And we hope all of us will unplug our ears and open up our eyes and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls, that we will be ready, we'll be prepared to stand before that great judgment seat of Christ. It'll be a horrifying event for those who are not ready. It'll be a rejoiceful event for those of us that are, who have obeyed the gospel and lived a faithful Christian life and been busy working in the vineyard of the Lord. Tonight we're going to address a subject here on the board. You probably can't read it back there because of the light and glare and so forth. In 1 John 5:4, faith is the victory that overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Well, how do we get faith? How do we know what faith is? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that means if we have faith and want to follow the instructions of faith, Brother Tim, we're going to be obeying everything that faith reveals in God's Word. Faith is the subject of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. It's the subject of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith defined would be the belief of divine testimony. So if you really believe divine testimony, Brother Ed, you not only hear what it says when you hear it preached, and believe what it says when you read it, but you'll put it in your heart and do what it says each and every day of your life to the best of your ability. If you don't do that, you don't have the faith recorded in this book that we call the Bible. It comes by hearing the word of God. And so as we hear it, we believe it because we're convinced that it is true, because the Bible says so. We believe it. And then that moves us to repent of every single sin when we believe God's word. Except you believe that I'm healed, I am your sins. John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. John 17:17. So we hear it and we believe it with all of our heart. That moves us to repent of our sin, because when we hear it by faith and we read what the Bible says, faith comes by hearing the word of God, we examine ourselves and see how we stand in relationship with God. And knowing that we're in disobedience to God, then that moves us to repent of our sin, to change our mind, to change our way of life and living and thinking. The whole part of ourselves, you see, and yield our life to God Almighty. And so Luke 13:3, nay, I tell you, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Acts 17:30, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now, present tense, he commands all men everywhere to repent. At one time God did wink at ignorance, but now, that was then, that's now, he commands all men everywhere to repent. Luke 13:3 tells us the consequences if we don't repent. I tell you nay, or nay I tell you, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now that's plain talk. That's easy understood. It's a change of mind. It's a change of will, which leads you to a change of life. You'll be like that eunuch in Acts 8:35-40. When he heard Jesus preach, he was convinced that he needed to obey the Lord. And as we go on and show forth what's necessary after repenting of our sins, confession is the next thing that has to be done. And in that 8th chapter of the book of Acts, it's one of the simplest ways to understand what the confession really is and means. As he was riding along there in that chariot, the Ethiopian eunuch, with Philip the evangelist, who was sent there to get connected with him. May I remind us that a chariot in those days would be like a Lincoln Continental or a Cadillac in our day. It was the mode of transportation everybody wished they had and didn't have. But he was in charge of the Queen's Trade Treasury of Candace. And so, Brother Allen, he had a great responsibility, and he was being guided by a man that was sent from God Almighty, and he'd be told the truth. And his honesty and integrity is demonstrated in this discourse. And so we'll just summarize as much as we possibly can about this quickly and move on. And so as he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, Philip the evangelist asked him, he said, understandest what thou readest? Isaiah 53, you know. Are we like sheep are gone astray? The Lord laid on him iniquity's hall, and so on and so forth. Understandest what thou readest? And you know, we need to be understanding, don't we? You read and don't understand, you better go back and reread again and look at it more. And he said, understand what thou readest? And he said, how can I have some man guide me? And the reason he said that is because this man had been sent there to guide him. And he was guiding him right when he preached Jesus out of Isaiah 53. And as he rode along there, jogging along, you know, in that chariot, the eunuch said to Philip the evangelist, see, you know, they're a little observed. Look here. Here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now think about what triggered his mind. What made him ask that question? See, here is water. What hinder me to be baptized? How did he know anything about baptism? Had Philip said a word about baptism, actually, literally? Not a word. Well, how did he know? When he seen the water, he needed to be baptized. Well, the answer is this, and it's the sweetest words you'll ever hear. He preached unto him Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus, and when you preach Jesus, what did Jesus preach about baptism? Go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth that is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Matthew 28:18-20. All power hath been given to me, both in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. There it is. That's what Jesus preached. And when Philip preached that, he heard Jesus preach. He seen that water. He knew that Jesus said to be baptized, you see. So that's simple, isn't it? That's a biblical answer. That's the truth. So when he heard it, he believed it. And he had repentance in his heart. He was ready to make that confession. He was excited, Brother Murphy, about making that confession. He didn't want to hesitate. He wanted to get on with his life. He had been looking and searching for that. He had been traveling long distances, you see. And so he finally got the answer. See, here is water. What hindered to be baptized? He's riding along there, just stopping it. Whoa, hold it. Something great's got to take place. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe with all my heart that he made it clear with all of his heart. That's what we've got to do, you see. That's what makes faith the victor that overcomes the world. That's the beginning part, to believe the testimony that God has dictated to us in his word, the Bible. We have a concrete example that's undeniable right here, that we're talking about it pretty much now. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, as if to say, whoa! And they both, a plural word, went down in the water, Philip and the eunuch, both of them. They didn't pour a little water out of a cup on top of his head. No, they didn't. Then sprinkle a little water on their fingers on top of him. No. What did they do? They both went down into the water. Scripture of baptism is what? A going down into the water. It's a burial in water. It's a coming up out of the water. And it portrays the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And that's what Romans 6, 17, and 18 talking about. God, we thank that you were the servant of sin. You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that's been delivered you, being then made free from sin. You became the servant of righteousness. When is the then? When you complete the form of doctrine. When is the form of doctrine completed? The death, the burial, or the resurrection? Well, when Jesus died, he was buried, and then he arose. We die the love and practice of sin through repentance. We make that sweet, wonderful confession. We're buried in baptism just like the eunuch was, and we come up out of the water and go on our rejoicing just like he did. He's that concrete example. We are to follow that explicitly and exactly as the Bible teaches, just like any other Bible subject. Don't add to it, don't take from, just straight down the line, book, chapter, and verse. Because that's what's going to be open in the judgment. Why waste time with anything else? It doesn't matter about your education, what your IQ is. None of our IQs are equal with God's, are they? So just believe what he said. Don't necessarily have to ask the preacher if that's exactly right. If you want to, you can. You ought to give you book, chapter, verse, and prove it. If you can't, the Bible says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21. Now, somebody said, you know, salvation is by grace. Well, I've been talking about grace through faith right here. All along already. God sent his son to die upon the cross for the sin, all sins of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, who believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son to the world to condemn the world, that the world through him might be saved. Romans 5:8, God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for the whole world. His love, his mercy, and grace was demonstrated on the cross. And he even said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And on the day of Pentecost, the first people had the first opportunity to be forgiven for crucifying the Lord of glory. That's a wonderful thing. Think about it. Because Peter brought that sermon to a focus. He says, therefore, all the house of Israel, most surely God have made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in heart. It pricked them to the depths of their soul. And he said, men and brethren, that is Jewish brethren, because there wasn't no Christian brethren yet. It's about to come to pass pretty soon, but not yet. But when they said, men and brethren, they meant the Jewish brethren. That's the answer to the question. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Folks tell us all the time, there's nothing to do. That's I mean, that's how foolish people are about what the Bible says. They don't realize that's important. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Why would they ask a question, men and brethren, what shall we do if there's nothing to do? They wanted to know what to do, Tony, didn't they? Yeah, they wanted to know what to do. And he told them, didn't he? Was he wrong? Peter said, repent. Now, he's talked about repentance. And be baptized, every one of you. Not every other one of you, the ones who want to. Again, don't have to. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, not John the Baptist or Martin Luther or somebody else. Why? Why repent and be baptized? What's the purpose? What's the reason? What's the dynamic? For the remission or forgiveness of your sins. Question. Can you have remission, forgiveness of your sin without repentance and baptism for remission of sins? No, you can't. When you put all the examples in the book of Acts together, you have what I taught you in Acts 8 a few moments ago. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. And baptism, as they're buried in baptism and they're raised to walk in newness of life, they're baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:26 and 27. For you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, into a preposition, have put on Christ. You're baptized into him, and you put him on. You're baptized into his death, where he shed his blood, you see. And that's where you contact that blood. You're baptized into Christ. You're baptized into his death. And you go on your way rejoiced. You're dead. You're dead in trespasses and sin before you obey the gospel. You're freed from sin when you come up out of the water grave of baptism. You go on your way rejoicing, you see. Christ died, was buried, and rose. That's the form of doctrine. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Let's look at what the Bible says real quick. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul, warned, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach to you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all, that we have to also receive, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So that's what the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now, we understand that, don't we? Clearly and simply and plainly as ABC. We understand that, and we need to yield. People need to yield their will to God's will while they have the time and while they have the opportunity. And those on Pentecost didn't waste any time. And they that gladly, continue in Acts 2, received his word were baptized. How many were baptized? Everyone that gladly received the word of God. The ones that wasn't did not gladly receive the word of God. You see the negatives. You see the positive and the negatives. You see? It's the condition of your heart. It's what your heart's wanting to do. Yielding to God or depending on in sin, you see. It's up to that. And so they continued. And they obeyed the gospel. About 3,000 souls was added to the church, you see. Let me baptize from your sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Two things are promised. Forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you're baptized into Christ, you go by the water grave of baptism. You contact the blood of Christ, baptized into Christ, into his death, where he shed his blood. It's a simple, we cannot misunderstand. And then unless we turn away from what the Bible has to say. Yes, faith is the victory that overcomes the world, but it's an active, obedient faith, yielding to God Almighty. The beginning to obey the gospel. From that time forward, it is an active faith in doing the things that the Bible teaches us to do. We're not earning our salvation when we assemble for services and all of that. It's by the love, the mercy, and grace of God. But the love, mercy, and grace of God requires us to work diligently in the kingdom of God, to glorify God, to lift up Christ and him crucified, you see. We've got to be busy in the Lord's work, yielding every day in every way that we possibly can to God Almighty's word. And then the Bible teaches us that we could be in that eternal winner's circle if we'll yield our lives to the Lord, become a Christian, and live that faithful Christian life. In 1 John 3:2 and Philippians 3:21, we'll have a body fashioned like his glorious body, and we'll see him as he is, and we will be like him. Imagine seeing Christ as he is, and imagine even greater being just like he is. Having a body fashioned like his glory, glorified body. Think of it. We won't have this old physical body. People talk all the time about people up in heaven, you know, walking around and strolling over heaven with a physical body. They won't be there. There will be no physical body. When we leave this world to go to the cemetery, the body, that body's put in the tomb, but it'll be a new body. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a what? Spiritual body. That's what your Bible says. And so we need to understand that. You say the spirit returns back to God who gave it. That's your death. It goes back to God, the originator of it, you see. The body goes back to dust from whence it came. So we're talking about something greater than this body. We're talking about something that we can't even begin to fathom that's taking place. So after we become a child of God, we are to obey God to the very best of our ability. And biblical faith not only believes in Christ, but follows divine instructions exactly as God specifies in John 14:15. If you love me, keep my commandments. John 15:14, you're my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. John 15:13, greater love is no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And not only to lay down his life for his friends, he laid down his life for his enemies, you see. And so we ought to be busy. And if we don't love God and we don't serve God, and he says, this is my commandment, you love one another as I have loved you. And if we don't love one another, he loves us. We're disobeying a direct command of God. And I'll tell you, that makes you shudder when you think about it if you're serious about living the Christian life. We can't hold no grudges against our brothers and sisters. We better not go to sleep without straightening that out if we have to. I guarantee you. Don't leave this world with grudges against anybody. Don't leave this world with bitterness and hatred against anybody. And we are, as he forgives, we are to forgive others too. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one to another. Maybe he of the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I appreciate Brother Murphy bringing up how we forgive us of our sins. Things we neglect to do. Forgive us for disobeying God. And forgive us for failing to do the things we ought to do to obey God. Sin, the omission, commission, word, thought, or deed. That's good. That's humility. That tells me that a person like that, to praise that, he knows his weaknesses and he doesn't hesitate to acknowledge them. You know, a lot of times I'm eating breakfast or something, eating a meal, and I'll start to take 2 or 3 bites before I give thanks. I stop and ask God to forgive me. Now I give thanks. You know, that's what I want to do. That's what makes my peace with God. I know I should be doing it, but when I had the pandemic, I forget so many things. I just get hungry, you know, and finally got work to eat. Didn't put taste into that. Didn't want anything to drink or eat. Just made myself eat and drink, like a lot of y'all probably had to do. Had no taste. But, you know, we need to remember, put God number one above everything else. Matthew 22:37-38. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And the second commandment is likened unto this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's another thing. Love your neighbor as yourself. My neighbor brought me food to put outside, and my neighbors called me and said, well, can we pick you up anything at the grocery store? And kids calling and all this and so forth. I had so many people wanting to help me. I guess that's that. And I said, well, I'm doing okay right now, but if I need it, I'll call you on the phone. If I get bad off, I'll just call 911. I don't want anybody coming around me right now the way I'm feeling, the way I am. So we just have to ask God to help us, to guide us and strengthen us and keep urging us on in every single thing that we do and say in our life. But as a Christian walking by faith, we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7, and again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So obeying the truth makes us free from sin. And then we continue to live the faithful Christian life. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. First begin at us. What shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? The righteous scarcely be saved. Where shall a sinner and the ungodly appear? The righteous scarcely be saved only by the love, the mercy, and grace of God. And it's contained in all these things we've been talking about here. And God's showing that each and every day, and we yielding our will to God Almighty, the very best of our ability. Real biblical faith receives and shares with others. and is constantly busy in obeying the Lord, Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. The way we're a son, yet learned the obedience of the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that what? Obey him. He's talking about those, God's children, those that obey him, those who are following him and yielding to his will and not their own will. It is clearly described in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 28, all these things about faith. Faith is mentioned so many times in Hebrews 11. Let's hurry over some of these things here and then bring out some more points just so that we can get along. Hebrews 11, 1, we quoted that already. Now, faith is subject to things, old part of the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And through faith, we understand the worlds were framed with the Word of God. We understand it because we read the Bible, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, and all these different actions here. So the thing which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. He offered, he done something, he was busy doing things. And that's what real faith is, busy working by love. Faith which worketh by love, the Bible says. So faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he had maintained witness that he was righteous. He demonstrated he was righteous by his actions and activities in life, you see. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. He's speaking even though he was dead by his actions, his deeds, and his words, and his life. By faith, Enoch was translated. He didn't die, you see, that he should not see death. He's one of the two men that didn't have to die. Him and Elijah carried up to heaven in the fire chariot. And so that's two exceptions to the rule. So by faith, Enoch was translated. He should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. You know what translation means, to change from one state to another. And for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's wonderful, isn't it? Think of that. And but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and it is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What does that word diligently seek him mean? Carefully, cautiously, observing. God's in charge, and we better heed to his word. We better not go to the right or the left. And by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to save his house, with which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things to come. He built that ark, didn't he? Out of gopher wood, pitch without the pitch, one window, one store, one door, one, three stories, lower, second, third story shall thou make it. Genesis 6:22, Genesis 7:5, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And so by faith, and God gave him the faith and the grace, he built that ark. He built that ark. Did you say, well, I believe God has the fire to take care of that ark, but he got busy, didn't he, building that ark. There was activity and action that needed to be done. And so he did it by faith. He was a faithful man of God. And he's a man of grace, too, because he was yielding to the provisions God Almighty had made possible for him. But he couldn't just fold his hands and say, I thank God I've got the power to make that ark. I just want about my business, and he'll take care of all of that. He'll be ready when the rain comes. We'll just all go in. No. He prepared an ark of what? The saving of his house, it says. He was busy doing something. Had a part in doing that which he was going to abide in for so many days before the dry land even appeared. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place where he should after receive for inheritance, he obeyed, and he did not know him whether he went. Didn't know where he's even going. God was leading him. He obeyed God. He followed God, even though he didn't know where he was going. But he knew God was going to lead him to the right place, didn't he? He had faith in God. And he done something. He got busy. He's moving forward and onward and upward and away that would please God, you see. That's the important thing that we talk about. And so, by faith, Israel journeyed in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and the heir to whom the same promise, for he looked for a city whose foundation is builder and maker is God. And through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised, and therefore sprang there out of one him as good as dead, so he's an old man, in other words. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand of the seashore, innumerable. You see, when you got faith in God, and you believe
His love, mercy, and grace, he takes care of them, you see. And then, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were pilgrims on the earth. Strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from which they came out, they might have an opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country. Now get this. That is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. It was something for Abraham to do. He said, well, God's able to perform all these things. I know he is. But he had everything there on the altar, you see, getting ready for so forth. And Isaac, being a good-sized boy, must have been, he said, where's the sacrifice, Father? Where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide the sacrifice. Can't you see him now as he draws his hand back with a knife in the glistening of the sun on the knife and just ready to stab his only son, Isaac? He had waited years and years to have because his wife was barren. And now he had that son. But God said, just take his life, sacrifice him. He could have said, well, you know, how can all the nation be blessed through my seed when I'm going to murder my own son who the seed's got to come through? If he'd use human logic, would he ever done it? Abraham offered. He did what God said to do. Did he save his soul just because he did that or because his heart was to obey God's word? He said, God was by grace looking over him, but he had to perform. He had something to do, a performance. Did he earn his salvation because of that? No. He did it because God said to do it. Grace through faith. Believe in doing what God said. God provides everything that we need to carry out the situation that we might be concerned about in life. Whatever that case might be, he had the opportunity. He gives the opportunity that we might continue to fulfill our duty and our responsibility. I want to read through scriptures real quick and then make some observations before we close the lesson in a few minutes, as soon as we can. This is a lesson in depth that we're trying to bring out as much as we possibly can. And so, in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, the Bible says, all scripture, not just some, but all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is proper for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, commanded by being perfect, through the authority furnished unto all our every good work. Now, so all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now, wouldn't you say everything that God says in the Bible is inspired of God and is necessary to please God for us to yield our will to his will? So all scripture. So whatever God says in scripture about other scriptures, every one of them is exactly in harmony with God's will, and one does not contradict the other. In other words, grace, faith, mercy, love, obedience, all comes right in the same category all together, in a way that will please God Almighty and help our fellow man if we'll yield our will to God Almighty's will. And Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 is the next passage that I want to read, and that's a passage that denominational preachers just wore out, but they don't harmonize the rest of the Bible along with it. But we're going to read that here and make a comment in just a moment. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 from the pen of the Apostle Paul. And here's what he has to say. Page stick together on here. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, and we've all heard it over and over. For by grace are you saved, we believe that, through what? Faith. You've got to have faith. By grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, and the good work which God had before ordained, that we could walk in them. So it's ordained that we should walk in them. We all know we can't earn our salvation, but when we obey the gospel and follow his instructions, he commands us to do certain things. And when God commands us to do certain things, we're simply obeying his voice and yielding to his will. We're not trying to earn our own salvation, but we're trying to do what God tells us. He's foreordained it beforehand that we should walk in good works and doing what God requires of us to do. And in Titus 3 and verse 5, let's notice another passage here in just a moment. Titus 3 and verse 5, I believe it is. Titus 3 and verse 5. Turn your Bible, right along with us now at this time, if you would please. not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So that's talking about the plan of salvation. We obey and we become a child of God, and we're saved because we obey the commands of God, and he forgives us all of our sins, and we're pleasing unto him, but we want to yield to his will. And Titus chapter 2 also, let's notice, 11 and 12, he says, now notice, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation that appeared to all men. God so loved the world, there it is. Teaching us, now what does grace teach us? Now if we're saved by grace and have the faith of God's word, and we're saved by grace, then we're listening to what grace says to do. Now here's what the grace of God that saved us says for us to do. After we're Christians, he says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now that's after we've obeyed the gospel and been forgiven of our past sins, but then he stresses us to follow grace, and grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So we work in the vineyard of the Lord, not that we earn our salvation, because the one that gives salvation tells us to be busy doing the things that we need to be doing. Like in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, to patience godliness, and godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. And he said, if these things be in you and abound, that is, actively engaged or involved in, they make you, you should be bearing on fruit in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and he's forgotten that he's been purged from his old sin. He's forgotten his original conversion. Think about it. He's forgotten. He's been purged or forgiven for his old sins. So grace is growth and development, living the faithful Christian life. And because we add all of these things to our life, is because that's the book of grace, and grace teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And of course, if we don't work according to what the Bible says, then we cannot go to heaven, because I'll show you some more scriptures and nail it down here in just a moment. But we got to follow the things that God wants us to do to be pleasing unto him. And if we don't, we cannot please God Almighty. And it's an important thing that we understand these things. Now, the scripture we done quoted there, we know in 2 Timothy 3 says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So any scripture I read is backed up by God that's in the Bible. So we got to do all the things that God says to do. There's love, there's mercy, and there's grace. And there's passage in other places that you're going to read in just a moment here. James chapter 2 says, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Now, just because we work, are we earning our salvation? No. We're working because that's a command of God. And we deny a direct command of God if we don't work and serve the Lord in sincerity and in truth. And if you'll turn to James chapter 2, I want to read that, emphasize that. James chapter 2, and we'll begin with verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. And this nails the coffin in once saved, always saved doctrine too at the same time. Now think of this. James chapter 2 and verse 14. Now Paul, in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, said, by grace ye saved through faith, not of yourselves, as any man should boast. And Titus 2 and also in Titus 3, Paul spoke that. Now question, did Paul and James contradict one another? Brother Allen? No, they didn't. They harmonized each other. They backed each other up. Because each one of them received the word of God through the power of the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. 2 Peter 1:21. Prophecy came not in old time, but the will of man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So let's notice here in James chapter 2, 14, beginning again, so we don't miss any of it. What doth it profit, my brethren? Whose brethren? Brethren in Christ, right? Christians. Everybody agree with that? Okay. Just listen to the Bible. Listen to the Bible. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Question mark. Now I'm going to let a divine man tell you the rest of the story, just like I always do. Man, it's powerful too, I'm guaranteed. And it says now, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, we know what needs to be done already before we read the next verse, don't we?
And one of you say to them, depart in peace, be you warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which needful to the body, what doth it profit? Now, could you claim to be a Christian and see a situation like that and not respond? No, no possibility. If we see our brother in need, shut up our bowels with passion. How dwell the love of God in us? That's pretty profound, isn't it? It's the Bible. It's the truth. So you see somebody in need, and you say, "Boy, everything goes well. We did this to be warm and filled. I wish you the best, but didn't lift a hand to help them. Didn't give no clothes or no food, no needs supplied. Is that a Christian?" No, it's not. It's not a 30-second degree attitude. Thank you. And one of you saying to them, depart ye in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Question mark. What good have you done? You've ignored what needed to be done. Even so, faith, if it had not works, is dead, being alone. Now, you know, if that was the only verse in the Bible, you cannot be saved by faith only, can you? Only means excludes everything but that. Is that what it says? No. This is profound. And these last few points we nailed down here, I challenge any man to deny it and prove it. It's wrong. They can't. I've met too many of them. I've met a man face to face. I preach these things on TV and radio, and I'm going to preach them more deeper. When I get back, I'm going to make some more tapes on this subject. So let's continue reading right here. Even so, faith that hath not worked is dead, being alone. It's dead, being alone. It's got to have a companion. Works. Works. You got to do something to even obey the gospel. You got to do something, a whole lot of things, in order to continue to be faithful in the gospel, right? You got to keep on doing it. But you're not saying, I earned my salvation because I did that. You're doing what the Bible said. You're putting your faith with your work, and that's what God said. Faith without works is dead. Works is proof that you have faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God says to help your fellow man. You help your fellow man. You give him clothing. You give him food. You give him money if you got extra. You believe what the message says about helping the sick and visiting the sick and afflicted. And so you produce because you love God. And you're not stingy. Don't keep it all for yourself, like a lot of folks are. But you're putting a noose around their neck when you do that. But again, hurry here. You're running out of time. But he says, faith without works is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. How's your faith demonstrated? By work, by doing something. Oh, I've got great faith, but I'm not going to do a thing. Wow. You're proving you really have it, don't you? You're proving you don't have it. That's what you're doing. You're destroying yourself. Yeah, man may say, that's faith and thy works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Are they saved because they believe? According to their denominational friends, just say they believe. Except Christ is their personal Savior, we believe you're born again, but Scripture, please. It ain't in there. It ain't in there. It's foreign to the Bible, it's the United States, just to Russia. It's not in there. But continue reading. But will thou know, O man? Where are we now? But will thou know, O man, vain man, vain, that's empty, void, that faith without works is dead? Question, can you go to heaven with a dead faith? Well, you know you can't. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. Faith without works is dead. What can a corpse do? Accomplish nothing. Faith without works is dead. That's what the Bible says. We just read it. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? He did something. He offered his son upon the altar. He did it by faith and through the grace of God. But did he earn his salvation because of that? No. He yielded because God has foreordained that we should walk in good work. It's the foreordination of God before the foundation of the world. He knew the plan was coming. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. The Bible says, by working, your faith is made perfect. It's complete. It's mature. It's holy. Now that's what God says. That's not what men teach. They teach Ephesians 2, 8, 9, Titus 3, 5, 1 through 5. And they teach those other passages that teach what they want to hear, but like I said, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 makes it clear that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. That means what Paul wrote, that's what means what Peter wrote, it means what James wrote, it's what all the apostles wrote. You put it all together. The Bible says, faith without works is dead. Then in the scripture, fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. The only place in the Bible, people say you're saved by faith only. James 2:24 is the only place in the Bible says, not by faith only. Man says by faith only, and the God says not by faith only. Who are we going to believe? Who can destroy that doctrine, that argument? Nobody can do it. Nobody in the world can. God destroy anybody that tampers with it. Guaranteed. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified of works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now if that's not sufficient, I don't know what else to say. Wrapping up here, I'm going to do a little bit more. I put some extra things here. Bring out if I had time. I've been really trying to get over it. I had a lot of material here. Yeah, and so faith without works is dead. Belief or faith without action means spiritual death, right? Faith without works is dead. If you claim you got faith and you ain't doing anything, you're disobeying the word of God. Adding to and taking from God's word, Revelation 22:18-19. The flags of this book will be added to it if you add to it. And your part will be taken out of the book of life and out of the holy city, the things written in this book, if you take away or add to it. That's dangerous. Don't add to and don't take from. Flags will be added if you add. And your remainder will be taken out if you take away from the book of life. Don't tamper with God's sacred word. Live faithfully as a Christian, working for God, and be saved eternally with a living, dynamic faith. Real faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. I thank you for your great interest and your patience. I've labored hard to bring this out. Clearly and distinctly. If you have other questions about it, I'd be glad to study with you privately. Well, anything I teach, I'll back it up and defend it with the Bible, regardless of what it is. That's what we got to do. Stand firm and foursquare upon the word of God. Now tonight, if you obeyed that gospel plan of salvation we talked about in the very beginning, I want to start out with a foundational premise, and then how we can build on that by serving God actively every day after that. You've heard plenty of the Bible talk. Romans 10:17. Do you believe with all your heart, John 8:24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Are you ready and willing and able right now to repent of your sins? Are you broken up about your life, the way you've been living, the things you've been doing, the condition you are in your life right now? Are you satisfied with that? Repentance means a change of mind, a change of will, leads you to a change of life. Shake the devil off your coattail and don't obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you need to do. Hear, believe, and repent.
And make that sweet confession just before this audience here tonight and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Just take a seat here on the front and we give the invitation. If it's your way of letting us know you want to become a Christian, or if you want to rededicate your life, whichever the case might be, we're here to help and assist and guide, and that's our purpose for being here. And we're all here to do all things which the Lord has commanded us to do. After you make that sweet confession, buried with him in baptism, water is ready. We're ready to help and assist you. You raise up out of that watery grave of baptism, you go on your way rejoicing. You're baptized into Christ, you contact his blood in baptism for the remission of sins. And you raise to walk in newness of life, just as Jesus raised to die no more. And you obey from the heart that form of doctrine, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. What a lesson that is. Yes, it is. If you need to come back and recommit your life. 1 John 1:9 again. If we confess our sins, the Apostle John said we, included himself in the apostle. You mean an apostle sin? Well, obviously. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, not you or them alone, but us, me too. Cleanse them all unrighteousness. Confession, forgiveness. No confession, no forgiveness. Are we set up tonight? If we are. Won't you come? While we stand.